You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Tim McMaster talking Boston Red Sox baseball with MLB.com Red Sox reporter Ian Brown. And Ian, this week, I guess let's start in the bad news situation. Koji Uehara is on the DL for the rest of the year. Non-displaced distal radius fracture in his right wrist after he got hit in that wrist on Friday. What does this mean for Koji and the team right now, not having that closer the rest of the way?
Well, I mean, it'd be a much bigger deal if the team was in a pennant race, you know, but let's face it, they're playing for next year right now. But still, we saw it, you know, the first game without Koji, you know, last night in Miami, Tuesday night in Miami, they have a one-run lead, and Junichi Tozawa can't hold it. So the Red Sox bullpen was trying to patch it together even with Koji, so now without him, it's going to be really tough for them the rest of the year. And, you know, John Farrell hasn't really anointed a closer. He's going to kind of leave it open by committee for now and see if somebody wants to step up and take that. But, yeah, the loss of Koji hurts. Long term, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for a 40-year-old to be able to rest these last 6 weeks of the season and be fresher going into next year. So I think maybe down the line you might look at this injury as a silver lining.
I thought maybe Gene Machi would be the guy we saw in the ninth inning on Tuesday night. He pitched the eighth inning and then Tozawa in the ninth. It seems like Tozawa, as good as he has been with the Red Sox as a setup man, he's never been able to quite take over that closer role. Is it something about the way he pitches or his stuff?
I don't think it's the stuff. I think it's mentality. Look, I think a lot of guys who have closed before will tell you that, you know, everything changes in the ninth inning. This whole mindset is different. The whole feeling is different. The whole tension. And I don't think Junichi Tozawa, he doesn't have that closer, I'm fearless mentality. He's a guy who, you know, he can get in his head a little bit. And I just don't think that, you know, he's ever going to be a closer. He's probably always going to be a setup man unless he ever goes back to starting pitching. But I just don't think that he's a closer. Frankly, the Red Sox don't have a lot of guys on this roster right now who are closers. So, like I said, the ninth inning could be an adventure the rest of the way here.
As far as Koji goes, he's expected to make the full recovery. Obviously, it's not an injury that really impacts the throwing motion and that sort of thing. He has 1 year left on his contract with the Red Sox. Is there confidence in the organization that he's going to be once again a top-notch closer in 2016?
Yeah, a lot of confidence. I mean, Koji was kind of a big question mark going into the season. It's hard to remember now, but you know, he had a tough finish last year. He was tired, and you know, they shut him down for a while last September, but he had a really kind of lights-out season this year, and it was a great sign, and I think that there's a lot of confidence in Koji going forward. Whether he's the closer or not, he probably will be, but whether he is or not, he'll be a key piece in that bullpen in 2016.
All right, let's move on to some brighter topics, and one thing that's been, I think, exciting for Red Sox fans to see over the last week or so is maybe the emergence of the outfield of the future when you look at what's been going on. Let's start with Jackie Bradley Jr. He's always had the glove, one of the best outfielders in the game, but the bat has been slow to come at the major league level. But boy, he's shown some flashes here in the last few games. Five RBIs on Sunday, another triple on Tuesday night. Do you get the feeling that maybe it's starting to click for JBJ at the plate?
It sure looks like it. I mean, Jackie Bradley, you look at his minor league numbers, and the guy has hit his whole career except for when he's been up in Boston. And, you know, I think that he made some adjustments to his swing this year, and then he just didn't get much of a chance to play every day in Boston this season until Mookie Betts got that concussion a couple weeks ago. Now, you know, it took him a couple weeks to get into the rhythm, but now he's really just starting to hit the ball hard every time he's up and obviously plays with great confidence out on defense. And Bradley's so good defensively that if he just hits 250, 260, he'd be a really useful guy to have on a team. So I think I'm seeing how John Farrell kind of finagles Jackie Bradley Jr. into his lineup the rest of the way. That's going to be one of the more interesting storylines in this Red Sox season. And a lot of people would like to see that Bradley, Betts, Ruzne, Castillo outfield. They really make things happen on defense.
Yeah, and Betts came back on Tuesday night. And what an outfield for those three to be in Miami. All that green out there in Miami for those guys to track down the ball. But you mentioned Castillo as well. Obviously, he comes over from Cuba. There's a lot of adjustments that have to be made. But now that he's back up with the club and seems like he's going to be consistently in that lineup, is it clicking for him as well?
Who's that, Mookie? Or?
Castillo.
Castillo, yeah. No, Ruse, yeah, he looks like it's starting to click in a little for him, too. And this is a guy who, you know, after they called him up, it seemed like, you know, he just, you know, one thing, he would get a nagging injury and then, or he'd get into a slump and he just couldn't sustain any rhythm. Now he's finally just going out there and playing. He's got a lot of raw ability. I don't think the raw ability is a question with Castillo. It's just, I think he's got to develop a little bit of better of an approach at the plate. Sometimes he's a little over-anxious, but, you know, this guy, he's starting to show why they signed him to that big deal. It looks like, you know, he can be an exciting player. And another guy, he's key down the stretch just to see. You know, the Red Sox are really looking at 2016 right now, and Castillo is prominent among those guys where they just want to get a look at him and get him some momentum going to next year. And the last couple of weeks have been encouraging for sure.
And you have Castillo, you have Bradley Jr., you have Betts, and of course Hanley Ramirez there. So what's the challenge here to get those all four of those guys playing time over the next couple months?
Yeah, it's going to be very challenging, and I'm curious to see quite how John Farrell is going to do it. And you know, maybe, you know, I'm wondering, do you look at a position change for Hanley at some point? I mean, you have kind of a vacancy at first base right now. And then, you know, I know it's tough to do in the middle of the season, so I'm looking more long-term. You know, maybe you could move Hanley to first, or you could move Pablo to first next year, move Hanley to third. I think they might need to be creative. So, you know, Hanley in the outfield just hasn't worked very well. He doesn't look like an outfielder. He's slow to the ball. And I just think that, you know, a lot of people would love to see the Castillo Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr. outfield in 2016 and beyond.
Yeah, it seems like maybe that was the original plan long-term to begin with, knowing Mike Napoli only had one more year left. So we'll see if those guys eventually find their way back in the infield with Hanley Ramirez. Sticking with the young players, Ian, Henry Owens, couple of starts now under his belt. He gets his first major league win. What have your impressions been so far of Henry Owens in the big leagues?
Yeah, he's been pretty poised. I mean, I actually thought Owens was better in Yankee Stadium, the game where he didn't get the win, than he was in Detroit. Detroit labored a little bit with the command. But, you know, it's going to be fun watching this guy pitch. I mean, big, tall, lanky lefty with pretty good stuff there, an assortment of pitches. So just a matter of repeating his delivery and gaining comfort at the big league level. But they'd love to know by the end of the year, you know, if this is a guy that, you know, can be in the rotation next year. So I think, again, you know, like I said with Bradley and Castillo, great storyline is watching Henry Owens over these final weeks of the season to see, you know, just what you have there. But, yeah, he's certainly bringing some excitement in his first two starts.
What have you seen from him as far as command and control? Because I know that's been the one question mark as he's gone through the minors. When he's finding that strike zone, he's almost unhittable at times, but sometimes he kind of loses that command.
Yeah, I don't think that Henry Owens is a finished product yet. Sometimes with these bigger, lankier left-handers, you know, you saw with Andrew Miller, where it took him a while to sort of just, like, get the whole body in sync. And really be able to pound the strike zone, and then, you know, suddenly he turned into one of the best closers in baseball. So, you know, Henry Owens, like I said, it's tough sometimes for the guys with the bigger frame. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how quickly he can really gain that command that he needs, because it's still not completely consistent right now.
The opposite end of the pitching spectrum as far as stuff goes, I think, would be Stephen Wright. But he has really stepped in, and he's been in the rotation here for a few weeks, and he's done a tremendous job. Last three starts, 2-0, a 2.25 ERA, and he's got 21 strikeouts in his last 20 innings. It seems like the knuckleball is always a pitch, Ian, that comes and goes, but it's really there for Wright right now.
Yeah, you know, Stephen Wright, looks like things are starting to click for him a little bit. And, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but a couple weeks ago, Tim Wakefield was at Fenway doing some stuff for the team, and then he watched Stephen Wright throw a side session, and they're pretty close friends now. And Wright has turned in three really good starts in a row, one right after Wakefield watched him. So, you know, I think that maybe that had something to do with it. And, you know, Wright's 30 years old now, and he's been throwing this knuckleball for 2-3 years now. But, you know, we saw with Tim Wakefield how valuable a guy like that can be on a staff. So I think that there will be a spot for Stephen Wright on this team, you know, whether it's a starter or whether it's a guy who bounces back, swingman, from the rotation of the bullpen. You know, he's really given them hope that he can be kind of a, you know, one of the guys on their pitching staff going forward.
Didn't Wakefield used to talk to the Necros and that sort of thing? It seems like the knuckleball is something that continues to kind of be handed down from generation.
yeah, you know, Wakefield used to talk to the Negro brothers and Charlie Huff, and you know, these guys are a tight fraternity. And I think that, you know, Wright really utilizes Wakefield as a resource, and I think that that can only help him, because look, Tim Wakefield is one of the most consistent knuckleballers of all time, and you know, we'll see if Stephen, you know, it's going to be tough to see Stephen Wright win 200 games like Tim Wakefield did, but you know, he, like I said, I think he can be a useful piece on the team.
I wanted to touch on David Ortiz, Ian. He hits that plateau. He gets his contract vested for 2016, and it can only go up from here, I guess. Kind of an interesting contract, isn't it, the way they work this out with Poppy as far as the at-bats and how much money he can make next year?
Yeah, it actually reminds me of what they did with Tim Wakefield at the end of his career. He had a little vesting option where the team could, you know, they would have the right to pick it up every year, and it was like indefinite. It was kind of like, you know, as long as this guy was pitching well, they would pick that up. And sort of a similar thing with David, where, hey, he's earned the right that as long as he's still getting the job done, and, you know, we've seen this guy have a great second half. The unfortunate thing with David is second year in a row, he's kind of gotten hot once the pennant race has been over. And I don't think, this is not to say that David Ortiz can't handle pressure. This guy is one of the best clutch hitters in the history of the game. It's just the way it's worked out from a timing standpoint, where he got off to slow starts, and then he just got red hot 2 years in a row now. But yeah, he still has the bat speed. He's still a very feared hitter. He's still the Red Sox best hitter. And I think that's not necessarily a good thing, because you don't necessarily want your best hitter to be a 39-year-old. So you need to develop another star hitter to give David the support he needs. And I think that that's a primary thing this offseason is to figure out who's going to be that next guy who's going to give David the support. You know, they're kind of disappointed in the year that Hanley Ramirez had. They thought he was going to be kind of the guy who would take the pressure off David. But, yeah, great sign that David's still hitting, and that's a very, you know, club-friendly and player-friendly contract for next season.
Ian Brown, thanks a lot for joining us. Tune in again next week for the Red Sox Extras podcast.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.